Pleased now to be joined by Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they've got you covered. Brent, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jimmy. Hope you're doing well. Vince, hope you're doing well.
Doing fantastic. First off, I want to hit you with John Fulkerson. He's made the rounds with the media and talked about a variety of things in terms of returning. But your thoughts on his return to Tennessee and the impact that can have on the basketball team?
Well, I think it's big. I think it's big that they're bringing a veteran guy back in the post. Obviously, that they are, you know, they've enhanced their post presence with what they've done on the recruiting trail the last week with, you know, the couple signatures that they got. But those guys are young, and they're going to have an adjustment period. And John's a veteran. It's going to be able to help lead those guys. And I think John welcomes the new additions because it's going to take a lot of the pressure off of him and some of the double teams off of him as well. I just think, Jimmy, that we're going to see a different John Fulkerson next year. I think that, you know, his personal battle with COVID was difficult. I think it took him a while to get over that. I think it was tough on him physically. And in talking to John myself, you know, one of the things that stood out to me was he just talked about how different it was in terms of the bonding with that team and kind of, not that they had bad chemistry, but it was very different year because they didn't hang out with each other off the court the way that that program has the last 3 or 4 years, which has kind of been the trademark of that program. So I think it's great for Tennessee that he's back. I think it's the best decision for John if he wants to continue playing basketball, and I think he's got more in the tank and he wants to give it a go. So I think he's coming back for all the right reasons, and I think both John and Tennessee will benefit from it.
We can debate the merits of the talent of this past team with the incoming, with next year's team. But do you see Kennedy Chandler making a huge difference because he figures to give Tennessee the true point guard that it lacked last year?
You know, Jimmy, if he doesn't, then this team's going to be a disappointment from what the expectations are, that are going to be placed on this team. And you know, maybe the expectations are going to be too high because of the hype around some of the recruits that they have coming in. But you know, I think Rick Barnes really likes Kennedy Chandler. I think he's going to give Chandler the ball from day one. I think the fact that Chandler is going to get to be here all summer, they're going to have, it appears to be a normal summer in terms of workouts and a full-length summer that will help them. I think it'll give them a chance to get Kennedy Chandler ready to go. And I don't think it will be a situation like it was a year ago, where Rick Barnes ended up kind of easing Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer in and, you know, limiting some minutes early and taking them out of the game when they made a mistake. I just have a feeling Rick Barnes is going to give Kennedy Chandler the ball and say, you're my point guard, let's go to work. Because I think if Tennessee's going to live up to any expectations that they have and be where they want to be at the end of next year, they're going to need a healthy Kennedy Chandler with a ton of experience that he's only going to gain by playing a ton of minutes in December and January.
Brent, before we get to football, just curious, besides Kennedy Chandler, you mentioned John Fulkerson. What do you think about all those other changes to the staff and the roster and how sort of the finished product as we sit right now looks for Tennessee overall?
Well, welcome to college basketball. And this is the new age of college basketball. It's all about roster management. I don't think you're going to see a ton of teams who are going to build, you know, a senior class of 6 or 7 guys, because I don't think all those guys are going to stay together. And I think this is what you have to do. I think you have to be ready in the transfer portal. I think you've got to be ready out there for possible reclassifications, and I think you've got to be on guard for everything. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, everybody was kind of down on basketball. You know, what's this team going to look like? All these people are leaving, and now suddenly there's, you know, people are saying maybe this is the most talented team they've had. We'll see how that boils down. But I give Rick Barnes a lot of credit because he was ready. He wasn't caught off guard with anything. I think he's been prepared for every move that has occurred within his program and every move he's made outside of his program to bring guys in. I think he was ready to go. You know, I like what he's done with his staff. I just, and this is probably a little blind faith, but I just think that guy knows coaches, you know, and I look at when he brought Dez Oliver in, not a lot of people knew who Dez Oliver was. I think he was a great fit for Tennessee and for Rick Barnes. I think the same can be said for Michael Schwartz and Kim English. So I don't know how, as a fan, you don't have confidence in what he's brought in with his staff, And then obviously they brought in some talent in an area where they were really deficient. You know, I still wonder if they're going to be able to shoot the ball well enough. You know, I think Powell's going to help that greatly. They need V.J. Bailey to be much more consistent. And then they need Muscogee to be a more consistent shooter. And I think, you know, Muscogee coming off the ball and not being a point guard all the time is going to and not playing as many minutes should make him a more effective player, particularly on the offensive end next season. So I like where this team's at. I think everybody probably ought to pump their brakes, Vince, with a little bit of caution. Let's, you know, not anoint them anything like they were anointed heading into this past season. But I do like the makeover that this roster has had over the course of the last 2 weeks.
We just played comments last hour from outside linebacker / DN / Leo Bryson Eason, and he talked about the differences from last year's coaching staff and how they operate practice to this year, and saying it was military style and very strict, and these practices are much more catered to the players and the team. What do you think of those comments and that comparison?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt it's different, you know, from the music playing to the fact that, you know, you've had a lot more positivity, you know, kind of created out there by comments made by Josh Heupel and comments made by the assistant coaches when they've met the media. Josh Heupel openly admitted the first week, maybe the first or second time that he met with the media after spring practice had started, that they needed to end practice on a positive note because this team needs confidence. And I think to generate that confidence, you probably have to go about it differently than the last staff did. Does that mean suddenly that guys are going to play harder or it's going to be different? You know, I mean, there's a million ways to skin that cat, okay? I mean, we've seen practice done all different ways, right? We've seen them wide open where the media can watch all of them. We've seen them where, you know, they've got, you know, basically guards around the building. Nobody can get near it, you know, and everything's done in secrecy. We've seen, heard loud music and microphones to no music. I mean, you know, it can be done a bunch of different ways. I think for Bryson Eason, yeah, he likes the way it's done right now. He probably likes more than that the fact that he's got a chance to be a starter on this team, whereas a year ago he didn't play a whole lot. And I'm sure last fall with everything going on, imagine here's Bryson Eason coming in, right? Everything's all messed up in the summertime when he gets here. He's got to get tested, and then he's told, don't be around your teammates. And then he goes into the fall. It's a shortened season. You're not going to play. If you do, you're going to play very little. It's a tough year. It's probably not a lot of fun. It does probably feel pretty military, regardless of who's coaching it. And right now things are a lot different, and I think he's obviously pretty excited about the opportunities that are in front of him.
As far as Brian Young, who's made a big splash from the junior college ranks, your thought about how Byron Young can help this Tennessee team as he comes from Georgia military?
Well, they got to get off the edge, Jimmy. They got to get to the quarterback. And, you know, I'm sure he's got a lot to learn still about playing the run and some different things. But if he can give them anything off the edge to get to the quarterback, then he's going to be a great addition to this team because they lack that. They lacked it a year ago. And they lack it right now, in my opinion. So if he can do that, then he's going to play as many snaps as he wants to play. His story is obviously very intriguing. Here's a guy who walked on at a junior college, which is unheard of. You know, he worked at a local store to make some money. He goes through a year where they don't get to play, yet he still ends up with offers from SEC schools. You know, and I think one of the things for him, I mean, you know, he comes to Tennessee sight unseen because he can't take a visit, and then he gets here and everything is thrown up in the air and the coaches are all gone. I don't say he benefited from the coaching change because he didn't, but when the coaching change came in, there was a comfort level for him because he did know who Josh Heupel was, okay, because Central Florida had recruited him some, and obviously he knew who Rodney Garner was because Auburn was one of the schools that was on him as hard as Tennessee. So I think for him it was easy to find comfort and get going and make the impact he's made in spring practice. He needs the summer to get stronger and bigger, but he's certainly a guy that I think this coaching staff is counting on to make an impact for them in the fall.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens from Design to Installation. They got you covered. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We come to you from Union Place Bar and Grill, located at 4884 Chambliss Avenue. And this is a place where you can come by and enter the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway, Better Than a Birdie. You can find out the keyword to text to 68255 that puts you in the running to win $2,000 set of irons as well as an Ultra golf bag. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosure and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered. He joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. To join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Michael. Michael, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Thanks, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
Good. Hey, Brent, I got a couple questions, or just really one that you can answer. But first of all, I'd like to say that my son did wrestling from first grade to eighth grade with a Catholic youth organization. He decided just focusing on baseball in high school. But I know exactly what you went through with all the movements that you did, with all the sayings that you said, do this, do that, why didn't you do this, you know, during the whole process. So I understand all that. And you know what I'm talking about.
I do, anyway. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, the strength and conditioning coaches, what's the difference from last year's to this year's, and how are the boys taking to it, and what progress have you seen?
Well, I mean, I think last year, it's hard to really judge last year because, you know, nothing was normal about the off season last year. I mean, guys were trying to work out at home and trying to figure out what they were doing. I mean, you know, what happened here and the reason there was a change in the strength and conditioning program is Josh Heupel wanted his own guy in there. Guy he was comfortable with, someone he has worked with and dealt with for a long period of time. And, you know, they're on the same page with one another, and there's a lot of trust there. The head coach has to have a ton of trust in his strength coach because that guy's around the players. And look, he's going to hand the team back to Josh Heupel in August that's supposed to be ready to go and needs to be ready to go. So I think that's the biggest reason why you see new strength coaches come in every time there's a coaching change, whether it's at Tennessee or wherever it's at. Very few times has there been a strength coach who has been a holdover when a new head coach comes into play. As for what they've been doing, I think a lot of what they did prior to spring practice was more, almost more agility work and explosion type work. They lifted in the weight room. I mean, they obviously lifted weights, but there was a big focus on athleticism and more explosion. They'll get back into some heavyweight stuff here over the course of the next couple of months. And then when you get to July, it becomes all about conditioning and getting your team ready in August. So I think you're going to see some guys change their body over the course of the next couple of months. After they've seen these guys, they have an idea of kind of who needs to be where. Elijah Simmons probably needs to drop a little more weight. They probably want a little more weight off of a guy like Darnell Wright. May want to add some weight to a guy like Byron Young we were just talking about. So I think that's a bit of an evaluation that takes place during spring practice. And there'll be adjustments and ideal weights and things like that for these guys coming out of spring. And then it's just hard work, lifting weights and conditioning and get ready for August. I'm not knocking strength coaches at all. There's not a ton of different ways to do that anymore. Everybody's doing the Olympic style stuff. I mean, you know, core training and all of those types of things is the focal point for really all strength coaches around the country.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and you have a good day, and good luck to your son in the future.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Hey, Brent. Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark.
I got a question regarding the transfer portal. It's obvious that Tennessee lost a lot of talent to the transfer portal. Could you talk a little bit about defensive-wise the talent that we lost? Who picked some of the top players up? Who some of the schools are that's looking at some that's left? And as a follow-up question, about what cutoff point is there? I mean, about what time would there be a cutoff point where these people that are left in the transfer portal doesn't have a home to go to? I'll hang up and listen to your comment.
Sure. In terms of your last part and having or not having a home to go to, I mean, theoretically, you can go all the way up until drop out of the fall semester. Now, if you don't get somewhere until August, then you're going to be way behind. in terms of trying to be able to play and contribute. I think most everybody who's in the transfer portal hopes to have and would like to have a home by June so they can get there for the summer and get themselves ready to go. In terms of what Tennessee lost defensively, obviously the two big things were at the linebacker position with Kavarius Crouch and Henry T. Tennessee's has been going after the linebacker from Texas who is in the portal. Kansas State's heavily involved there as well as some other teams in the Midwest. I think for Tennessee to get real with that guy, I think he's got to get to Tennessee even for a visit, even though you can't visit with the coaches. I think he's got to get to Knoxville and see Tennessee in some capacity before that gets real. What's kind of been interesting the last week and a half, is that we're seeing Tennessee be a little more active in the portal in terms of trying to recruit a defensive lineman. And there's a kid from Western Kentucky that Tennessee is involved with, trying to recruit a bit, who's a defensive lineman. And just earlier today, Tennessee offered a defensive lineman from Illinois State, I believe it is, who's originally from Illinois, who's in the transfer portal. A guy who was lowly recruited out of high school. He's gone and been a really good player there. And he's got offers from Washington and Texas and Tennessee and a bunch of other Power 5 offers. And we'll see what develops out of that. And then, obviously it appears Tennessee is going to get another quarterback on the roster and a transfer and Joe Milton from Michigan.
Thanks, Mark. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Steve.
Hey. Wanted to ask you about something. Jimmy, you told me the other day that the ball game, Tennessee Spring game, was on SEC Network. And some of my friends down here insist it's on one of the ESPN stations. So do you still think it's on SEC Network?
Giving me reason to second guess. Is it ESPNU? Either one of you guys know?
No, it is on the SEC Network Plus.
Okay.
So if you don't have the alternative channel for the SEC Network, you're going to have to watch it online. It's not on the regular SEC Network. It's on that Plus channel. In fact, I think there's 5 spring games. Well, South Carolina just moved theirs to Sunday, so I don't know where theirs is going to land. But going into the original schedule, everything was basically going to be a stream deal for the spring games. There wasn't going to be anything on, the mothership or the big stations. Alabama got that last week. They were the only one landing on ESPN. Most of them are all going to be on the SEC Network Plus because the SEC Network's covering baseball and softball this weekend. So sounds like the spring games have lost a little bit of the old television luster compared to where they've been the last few years.
Thing, just to quickly add to that, the SEC Network is replaying a lot of those spring games around the league. So Tennessee, if you miss it on Saturday, you don't get a chance to see it online, you will be able to find it on replay on the SEC Network in the days and weeks to come, probably even the rest of the summer.
Okay. Okay. Well, Brent, let me ask you. I know everybody's talking about our linebacker situation and how little talent we have there and little depth. Is there a walk-on that's got a brother who's a lineman on one side, I don't know which side of the ball, a walk-on, looks like he may get a scholarship, linebacker? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, you're talking about Kwanzy Garland, who's the walk-on linebacker. He came to Tennessee as a bigger defensive back and has put on some weight since he's been here and is now an outside linebacker. I think you'll see him as a starter in the spring game on Saturday. I don't know what that means, but I think you'll see him work with the number ones. He's had a really good spring. His brother is Karat Garland, who is on the roster as a defensive lineman. It's his brother, it's Karat's brother that's made the most noise this spring and has taken advantage of the opportunities in front of him at linebacker because Tennessee's obviously rail thin there. So we'll see what happens with Garland long term. But he is a guy who's certainly taken full advantage of the reps he's gotten this spring.
Right. Okay. Well, it was interesting too, Brent, before I got on, what I was hearing you say about us recruiting some defensive linemen. before they were playing. I thought that was rather interesting. But do you think, I know this is a dumb question, but do you think with the probation stuff maybe happening, some of it happening to us pretty soon at some point, that would really have a strong effect on keeping kids from coming to Tennessee, or whether a lot of kids just wouldn't care? What do you think about that?
I think it's important for kids. I think they want to know. I think it's the unknown that works against Tennessee, because
right.
when you have an unknown, you've got a lot of guys who, a lot of schools who are telling people, hey, Tennessee, you may not get to go to a bowl game to your senior year or whatever. And nobody
right.
knows the answer to that. Nobody expects that severity of punishment at this point. But the fact of the matter is, all the answer right now Tennessee has is that the investigation is ongoing. And so other
right.
schools are most definitely using that against Tennessee. So I think you need some clarity as soon as you can get it, so at least you know how to have that discussion with players. Because right now your answer is a little bit of, we'll wait and see. And you know, it's, the other schools are certainly throwing out their opinions and their thoughts, and it's not favorable to Tennessee. So the quicker you can get an answer, the better off you are.
Didn't one of the Wade twins indicate that was one reason they went to Kentucky?
Yeah, you know,
the uncertainty.
I mean, there's been some talk of it. Yeah, I think there's been there's talk of that for sure, and I think that's something that works against Tennessee. And I think, again, it's recruiting. Everybody's going to use it against Tennessee. And I promise you, nobody that's recruiting against Tennessee is going, yeah, it's really no big deal up there. I mean, they may lose a scholarship, or, you know, they may have this happen to them, or, you know. But, I mean, everybody's going, yeah, they're in trouble. I mean, they're in trouble. Look at this. Look at that. So that's why Tennessee is hoping and has been so cooperative with the NCAA, with hopes of trying to get an answer as quick as they can. Will it pay off? Will they get that answer? I don't know, because nobody understands the pace that the NCAA works at. And everybody handles it different. We talked about this, I guess, last week or the week before. LSU's going a total different direction in how they deal with the NCAA. You would hope, if you're Tennessee, you're banking on, hey, we get some benefit with the NCAA because we've been cooperative. LSU should not, because they haven't been cooperative.
Yeah, you never know how that's going to work with them. You're right. That's Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. As we come to you from Union Place Bar and Grill, located 4884 Chambliss Avenue. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance is brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, they've got you covered. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Brent, do you think Tennessee is going to get Joe Milton?
Yes, I do, Jimmy. I think he will be at Tennessee.
Okay. I saw a report where Washington State was under consideration, so I didn't know if that had been close
to
being final.
They've been under consideration. You know, Joe's listed in the student directory at Tennessee as a student,
right.
which tells me that his plan has been to be here. I don't know that he, you know, maybe he's admitted at both places. Maybe he's registered for classes at both places. But I don't think you jump into that student directory until you've been admitted and you've got a schedule in the works. So it certainly feels like he's going to be at Tennessee. I'd be surprised if he's not.
We talked about the NCAA, the unknowns that are there. I understand, you may know this better than I, but as far as Tennessee, the attorney fees regarding this investigation, is it topped as much as, what, $380,000? What's the number that you're hearing?
Oh, Jimmy, I had that last Friday. I'd have to go back and look at and see if I can find it in my notes right quick. The month of February, it was $92,268. January was $180,312. December was $93,765. November was $12,876. I'll wait for Vince to tell us what that total number is there. But that's got to be $400,000, right?
Close to it. Yeah,
it's $382,475.
Well done, Jimmy. You had that number in front of me. And that doesn't include March, okay? That doesn't include the month of March because I don't think that invoice has come in. So, you're approaching, you're looking at $400,000 there just in attorney fees to that law firm.
Yeah. Do you have any idea if they're close to completing the investigation?
No, I don't. I mean, the chancellor said on vol calls 6 to 8 weeks ago that they were close. Every time I've asked that question, I cannot get an answer to say that it is closed. The answer I get is that they're close. So maybe my definition of a closed closed deal in their investigation or their interpretation is different. The lawyers are still billing. There's billing from the month of March. So now maybe they're going to consult with them all the way through. Jimmy, I have to think they're through in interviewing people and talking to people at this point, but I don't know that 100% because the answer I keep getting when I ask that question is that nothing is, quote, closed or finished at this point.
All right, let's go to Nate. Nate, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I have a couple questions. My first question is the one-time transfer rule, is that a permanent thing, or is that just for this year, or?
Permanent. Oh, it's permanent. I mean, toothpaste out of that tube. It's here to stay.
Okay, my other question then is, well, if that's the case, then how do they hold you to 25 scholarships? I mean, you could have a roster get decimated in 1 year. You wouldn't literally be able to play football with a full team if everybody were to jump ship. I didn't know if there had been discussions about, say, if you have a transfer, then you get a scholarship back. Because basically, if you're trying to build a team, I don't see how you would be able to do that. If you lose, your sophomores and your juniors to the transfer portal, and then you can't go back and get so many freshmen or so many incoming scholarship players from high schools. I just don't see how they haven't addressed that before they address the one-time transfer rule. Have they discussed anything like that, NCAA?
Oh, it's been talked about. There's been some discussion, but there's been no resolution. There's been nothing, hey, this is what they're going to do. It's something that coaches and administrators have brought up, but nobody has, to my knowledge, there's nothing on the books to vote on or discuss or look at in that way. In typical NCAA fashion, a lot of times they put a rule in place and they haven't really thought out all the repercussions of the rule that they put in place. And so then after the fact, they come back and make some adjustments. And I think that's what you'll see here with the one-time transfer rule. I think you'll see an adjustment where there's a window or period of time where you can be in the portal, and then you've got to make a decision. You're either going to stay in the portal or you're coming out of the portal because you can't. I don't see how you're going to be able to let student athletes stay in the portal for 7-8 months and just hang around, and all of a sudden they can't find a place that they like, and they go, "Hey, I want to go back where I was." I know Dez Oliver, when he got to ETSU, told his players, "I've got to have an answer for you by X date. If that by X date, you have to tell me I'm staying in the portal or I'm staying here. And if you tell me you're staying in the portal, you don't have a place here because I'm moving on." And I think that the NCAA is going to have to look at a rule like that. And I do think they'll have to look at adjusting the numbers, but they probably won't do that until there's a team or a program out there that's in really bad shape numbers-wise.
I'd be very surprised if they adjust the numbers. I think if you have 30 that leave in the transfer portal, I think the NCAA says, well, then you need to go sign 20 in the portal. I don't think they're going to give them the 25 initials or increase that. I don't know. But I'd be surprised if they do.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guys because there's a lot of guys going to be left out to dry, and that doesn't really help the student side of the athlete for sure, in my opinion. I mean, hopefully they can get a spot, but I just worry about somebody who just said, I'm out, and then if the school fills his spot, and then he wants to come back when they don't have the spot for him, then he's kind of hung out to dry. That doesn't seem very fair in that aspect to me.
I think it's fair. If you enter the portal, you know the risk.
Yeah, that's true. Also, I guess. Well, thanks, guys. We'll figure something out.
Okay, thank you, Nate.
Yeah, I just think that you know, the only way it corrects itself, Jimmy, or settles down, unfortunately, is if there's a bunch of guys who don't find a home. You know, that's and I know they changed the rule in basketball, but before they changed the rule to the one and done, that slowed down some of the high school kids going straight to the NBA draft because enough of them didn't get drafted that it was a red flag. Like, oh, wait a minute. You know, and I think if you got enough kids who leave a Power 5 program with the anticipation that they're going to be at another Power 5 program and it doesn't happen for them, then maybe it slows some of that stuff down. But that's going to take a while to get to that point because right now, you know, Austin said it best on our podcast. So it's the cool – going into the portal is kind of the cool thing to do, okay? Let's get re-recruited. Let's go through the recruiting process again. And we're seeing that. Kids go in the portal. They jump on social media after they're publicly in the portal. Blessed to have an offer from so-and-so. Blessed to have this, you know. fortunate to have that. And all of a sudden, it's the second run, right? It's the second love fest of recruiting. The problem is there's a lot of those guys who were anticipating being able to tweet that stuff out who aren't getting those offers to tweet those things out. Maybe that slows down some of the transferring. Maybe.
That's Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered. His appearance brought to you on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens.
Brent, Katron Evans, 2021 class signee, tweeted that, similar to what you were talking about, that he has been let out of his national letter of intent from UT and that his recruitment is 100% open. What do you make of that?
Well, he asked out. And, you know, once you ask out, from what I understand, the way the rules are, the school that you asked out of the letter from has 30 days to basically make the decision or to respond. And they can come back and say, no, we're not going to let you out. Or they can say, yeah, we're going to let you in the free and clear. It's to my understanding, Evans asked out, then he went back and forth on what he wanted to do. I don't think Tennessee was going to take the publicity of, quote, holding a guy hostage to have to come here if he didn't want to come here. And so Tennessee has decided to let him out of his national letter, and he's, you know, free to go wherever he wants to go. The problem is the timing's not real good for him because it's late April. Most people are full unless they're, you know, looking for somebody in the transfer portal at a specific position. Evans has just had labrum surgery on his shoulder. From what I understand, I don't think he's going to be able to to play this fall. He's going to have to redshirt. And so we'll see where he lands or what he elects to do. It's been a bit of an unusual deal because he was all good, then he wanted out, then he said he wanted out, and Tennessee went through that process, and he went back and forth, I don't, and then he said, I want out, and Tennessee said, okay, we'll let you out. That's where it's at right now.
What kind of progress are you seeing in in-state recruiting for Tennessee and this coaching staff right now with, I guess, some more offers going out?
Well, I think Tennessee obviously is, you know, you kind of know who the names are in 22, and Tennessee's fighting, frankly, an uphill battle with some of those guys in the 22 class, but they're fighting, you know. We'll see where they are with a guy like Cam Miller. He's going to camp some other places. Does his stock really go up when he camps? And how does that change things? Isaiah Horton is another guy that Tennessee's obviously heavily involved with. And, you know, Dallin Hayden's obviously a priority, but I think that one's going to be hard for Tennessee because Ohio State's entrenched in there pretty well right now. Notre Dame and Tennessee's in it. But, you know, I think Ohio State feels like they're probably out in front right now. And so, you know, it's kind of the same names in 22, but you're seeing Tennessee, you know, do more in 23 and 24 because they don't want to be behind. They want to be, you know, out in front as much as they can and all of that. So, you know, it's clearly a priority, a lot of evaluation going on. June's going to be big. I think the biggest question right now for June is who lands the camp guys. I mean, and I don't mean land from a commitment standpoint. I mean lands them at camp. Who gets them here? Okay? Who gets them to their school in 23 and 24? Because you know, there's still some guys in the class of 22 you'd like to have come camp. But the bigger thing is you want to get those guys in the 23 class in particular on your campus, and you want them to camp because you haven't had a chance to evaluate them. You haven't looked at them since they were a freshman in high school. So what do they look like? So that's going to be really important. And so I think it's big, you know, to see who goes where, because there's going to be a lot of competition to get guys to camps because nobody's seen anybody in over a year. So that's the big next step for Josh Heupel and his staff, is how many of those guys can they get to camp for evaluation in the month of June?
Brent, I know it's not the be-all, end-all, and nothing will be decided, whoever it is, but wondering who you think will get the first series with the first team on Saturday at quarterback.
Oh, boy, that's a good one. I don't know. If you told me it was going to be Hooker, it wouldn't surprise me. If you told me it'd be Harrison Bailey, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if it was going to be Brian Maurer. I mean, I don't know, because I think all three of those guys have probably been the number one guy in a scrimmage at some point this spring. So maybe Hooker, but, you know, probably going to be determined by how they practice this week. How they threw it today may end up deciding that. So I don't know the answer to that, Vince. I think that's a good question and something we'll watch. Again, I don't think it matters, but right. It will be curious to see kind of who maybe has had the best week this week to earn that opportunity to be, quote, the first guy out there with the ones on Saturday. Let me say this, too, about recruiting, back to your previous question. You know, and I get where we are with numbers and COVID and all of those things, but, boy, it certainly feels like as high school teams start spring practice and we see the NCAA saying 50% at baseball games and softball games, it sure feels like it would have been okay to let football coaches go out and evaluate high school spring practices and stand on the sideline and watch and do some evaluation work this spring and get that started. I think it would have helped the recruiting process for everybody. And certainly, you know, I think you could have let those coaches back out on the road to go watch some high school football practices from, you know, mid-April on. But obviously the NCAA and everybody said, no, we set the date at June 1st. But, you know, given where everything's right now is right now, feels like you could have got that started a little earlier in terms of coaches being on the road to evaluate guys, which I think would help everybody in the process, not just the coaches, but I think it would help the prospects out as well.
Brent, we appreciate it. We'll see you at the orange and white game.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, they got you covered. He joined us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.